Last week I referenced core values of our congregation. We began with a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. This was at the top of the list. It is where it belongs and should be. Today we'll talk about community. Give you just a moment, you can look through that list. In a meeting this week, someone said to me, "If you can't imagine it, it can't happen." Those are true words. Dreams draw us forward even when the current reality is far from the dream. Martin Luther King, "I have a dream that someday." Powerful words. Well, God's dream is to have a holy people, that someday all would stream to Zion and join, and the Mennonite Church of Normal named that dream as a core value for our congregation. Perhaps in the naming we were too concise, since we used only one word, community, although I need to thank Holly for the wonderful way that she expanded on that word. But we only wrote down one word, and community is in fact the core value for the Mennonite Church of Normal, but I would add one more word. Christian community. That was and is one of our dreams that draws us into our future. Shall we pray? I thank you, Lord God, for the blessed unity that is your gift to us. Might we treasure this gift and steward it well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scriptural medley captures some of the key beautiful images of what it is to be God's people. Holy nation, a living body of interdependent parts, beloved, let us love one another, unity, having the mind of Christ. If you can't imagine it, it can't happen. And Scripture sets forth for us the needed imagination. For those words that Marianne read are not just abstract ideas for someone else, somewhere else. That dream is for us, that God would have this congregation, the Mennonite Church of Normal, shine forth as a holy nation. That the Mennonite Church of Normal would be alive as a living body of interdependent parts. That we would be known for how much we love each other, united and having the very mind of Christ. To this we aspire. Let this dream draw us into our future. However, the very reality that dreams draw us forward imply a challenge, because being drawn forward means that on this side of heaven, we will be on a journey. Being drawn implies movement. We are moving toward something. My mind, what I think in these terms, often brings to mind that journey from slavery to the promised land, 40 years long in the desert, was a part of the journey of the people of God, hard years. While we are being drawn forward, work is involved. And so, community, Christian community, is always a work in progress. It's always a work in progress. I note the quilt squares on our walls, which represent the true story of the whole world. These quilt squares, if you remember, depict a progression. And I think we do well not to deflate our spirits, but to be realistic. I think we do well to recall how in the Bible, becoming God's people, the true story of the whole world, to become God's people as God dreamed, it was elusive, it was challenging, it was always a work in progress. Think about it. Abraham and his nephew Lot arguing about property rights until they went their separate ways. Jacob and Esau. Finally, God's people arrive in the promised land, and those tribal clans fuss and squabble, and in the end, a civil war. Jesus focused on a community of 12. One traitor, one doubter, one who denied him, and two who schemed until the very end for the best seats in heaven. Christian community after Jesus lasted for five verses. Acts 2, 42 to 47, all the believers were together. Every day they met together in the temple courts and broke bread in their home and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, and then it went off the rails. Nevertheless, Paul and Peter, despite all the discouraging evidences to the contrary, held fast to the dream, the aspiration to be God's people. They imagined it and they wrote it down, unified, holy, honoring all, serving, praising. If you can't imagine it, it can't happen. We named it, well, this core value. From the beginning, and I will reflect shortly on that beginning, the Mennonite Church of Normal claimed that dream, that scriptural dream of Christian community, as that to which it aspired. And we claim that today, and it draws us into our future as a core value. And so allow me to reflect on some aspects of our congregational history and our congregational life. As I've been told the story, and I believe it is true, I've checked this out, several people have said, yes, that's the way it was. In 1976, when First Mennonite Church of Normal and Bloomington Mennonite merged to become the Mennonite Church of Normal, among others, there was a very clear objective. In this merger, we will not lose one single family. They lost one. Astonishing. I want you to think about that goal and where that is found in the scripture readings. It's to be found in Corinthians, that language of body, where it says every body part is indispensable. It is impermissible to dishonor or discredit any of the parts despite how they might be perceived by others who are not of this body. It may be thought that there are those that have more honor or less honor, but that's impermissible in the body of Christ to count anyone, any family, any person as less worthy. That was the scriptural foundation behind this objective. We will not lose a single family in this new thing, this new embodiment, this new incarnation of the people of God located at 805 South Cottage. The Mennonite Church of Norman, in this congregation, said the founders, we are not going to have those who count and those who count less. Well, we want to make sure we keep them. We don't worry as much if they just go their way. Every family. Yeah, put it in today's language. You couldn't have had a more deep, welcoming attitude. If I may add a little sidebar, I have read a series of novels, somewhat low-life novels. A series of novels that feature a hard-bitten Los Angeles policeman, but he had this motto, either everyone counts or no one counts. A crime against the most despicable street bum deserved justice as much as a crime against the mayor. Either everyone counts or no one counts. The Apostle Paul said, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so belonging, togetherness, honoring all, community is the legacy of those pioneers from 1976. And we are continuing to reap the benefits of the thoughtful, prayerful, innovative, faithful work which was directed back then and has been from the beginning to characterizing our journey, making a core value that of community. For those of you that were pioneers, thank you. Thank you. But life is a journey. And I remind us that community is, as I said at the beginning, a work in progress. So, just a couple of quick statistics. I happened to go into the archives and I came up with pictorial directories. I looked in the pictorial directory of 1977, 1 year after the congregation came into being. If you count all the bodies, meaning you count the babies and you count the oldest persons, everyone that's listed in those pictures, if you count everyone, 246 are no longer with us today. They grew up. They died, they moved, they joined another congregation. Life goes on. Now, I'm assuming you'll be interested to know that of those that were there at the beginning, 46 are still with us. The membership changes, the world changes. And I'll be talking a little bit about the change of the world. So 1995, I mentioned that when we introduced little Leo. I took the directory of 1995. This was the one that before I came here in 96, I pretty successfully memorized so that I could quite quickly put together names and faces. I spent time trying to figure it out. And of this directory from 1995, 179 are no longer here. But and this will be the final statistic. Between 1995 and 2007, 133 people were added. Community is a work in progress. And either everyone counts or no one counts. Even as the body is constantly changing, there is no such thing in terms of value as newcomers and the old guard. Either every one counts or no one counts. And so we are a work in progress, and I want to come to a close by thinking about what that means, that phrase that I use, work in progress. What kind of work does a body do that enables progress? What kind of work falls to us as a congregation to help us shape and enhance community, which draws us deeper into God's dream as opposed to losing God's dream? What are the practices? What are the means of Christian community formation? Well, this isn't comprehensive, but I'd say certainly it starts with being rooted in Jesus. That's why I started as I did last Sunday. A personal commitment to Jesus Christ and all of the things that go into having that happen and to being reminded of that and to rooting ourselves more deeply in Jesus. If we are the body of Christ, we must be rooted in Christ. So that's one practice. A community-creating practice is worship together. Like the early believers, they met daily in the temple to praise God. The more that they praised God, the more it formed them into being one. Can you imagine if we never met together to just praise God? If we never had that experience Lynette had talked about of having Jesus in our midst? All of those transcendent moments of song and praise and so forth and so on, certainly they shape us. And so a Christian community on the journey praises God together, knowing each other, simply getting acquainted is a practice. Prayer together, service, and bearing each other's burdens, weeping with those who weep. If one suffers, we all suffer. Now, I want to take that list, and I want to think about how they evolve and change and then expand on them slightly. Maybe this will illustrate. So take the one of common worship. The manner in which this is done has changed. When I came here, we had no French scripture reading on the screen because we had no native French speakers. And then God has sent to us these wonderful brothers and sisters from the Congo and from France. And so how we worship has changed. Either everyone counts, everyone deserves to hear or see the word of God, or no one deserves it. As our makeup has changed, the nature of our worshiping has changed, and this includes styles and what appeals to age groups and so forth and so on. We seek to have that which somehow allows everyone to have their heart touched, and I suspect that how hearts are touched today is different than it was 100 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, and it will change again. We worship together, counting all. How we connect. When this church was formed, there were very significant connecting events that took place here in this building. There was all church volleyball evenings. You had koinonia groups. Some of these, by the way, continue. You had small groups, fellowship groups, book studies. All of these things are ways that a person connects. And then one day we realized that our geography has changed, and we live in Bartonville and Clinton and Stanford and Roanoke and El Paso. And so thinking that we're going to learn to know each other by saying, come to this church, please come and drive 50 miles maybe twice a day, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Then you have those for whom it's easy and those for whom it's hard. And we started having more transitions. So you start doing things like name tags. And this was one of the reasons that we had area cluster groups and so forth. And I don't know what the best ways are in 5 years or in 10 years of simply connecting and knowing each other. Our world has changed. Hundreds have left. Hundreds have joined. They're coming together to pray. I make the notation is still a challenge and has at times been, at least in my experience here at the Mennonite Church of Normal, has been an anemic area of congregational life. Certainly there are smaller groups where there has been very meaningful face-to-face, heartfelt, regular prayer together. But for others of us, this is not the case that we have a context where we gather regularly to be prayed for by name, to be known. Praying together is a part of the work of Christian community. And so as we are drawn deeper into the dream, this work, if heretofore underutilized, deserves to be pondered. How is it that we may do this work better? Or this community formation work, how do we serve? It's changed. In some ways, there's nothing like common cause, common work, common devotion to draw a community together. So some of you, before my time, you took a trip to Haiti, and you still remember that, and you still retain bonds with those with whom you went to work. When Katrina came along, suddenly we were doing MDS trips. We did not one or two, but we did over a dozen MDS trips, and it helped knit us together. The work of building this building was a terrific community building thing. Life changes. When this congregation was formed, the Midwest Food Bank didn't exist. And undoubtedly there will be things in the future that when we serve God together, when we seek to obey Jesus in our midst, who says, now if you leave behind those who are hungry and those who are in prison and you don't visit them and you don't pay any attention to them, then you don't really know me. And so how that will be embodied is difficult to know. It will be different. The unity of this church is not based on its programs. It's not based on things, the nature of the work staying the same. It's based on the practices and the adaptability and the coming together in ways that will always be flexible. I would offer you this. We don't talk our way into unity. We serve our way into unity. And finally, bearing each other's burdens. 20 years ago, there was no such thing as Facebook. So perhaps there has been a transition in some ways. It was so interesting to see Marianne get up and ask for prayer, reading her smartphone. That's how we do it. So it may have been the perfect thing to have a telephone that you dialed and have prayer chains that worked that way. It was a beautiful thing, but maybe we don't do prayer chains that way. Maybe we have groups and all of these different ways of connecting. We now have the midweek prayer concerns. But the bottom line is not how we do it. It is that we continue to do heartfelt weeping with those who weep. We notice. We connect. We see. Nobody falls between the cracks. Either everyone counts or no one counts. The how we will do that will always change. But the question will always be, are we noticing everyone? Are we connecting with everyone? Are we seeing every single tear that falls? Are we embracing each other?